pray that all is well with you. Once again, God has blessed us to be back on this time side of life. And I don't know about you, the longer I live on this time side of life, the more thankful I am that the God of heaven saw fit to allow me to stay here. And so therefore, because he's allowed me to stay here, I have but one purpose in mind. And that purpose is to make my calling and election sure. Amen. So I want to challenge you and encourage you that as this year continues to unfold, and as we prepare to go out here and seek and save the lost, church, let's focus really on what God promised. And that promise is if we remain faithful to he calls us from this time side of life, he'll give us a crown that fadeth not away. Once again, I don't know about you, it is exciting to be able to assemble with God's people. Amen. And to remind us and encourage one another that during these times of difficulty when the world seems like it has no direction,
right,
thanks be to God that he has left us his word, and with his word he has given us his spirit that will guide, that will direct, and help us to stay on the right track if we will surrender our will to the will of the Father. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, Jesus said, "If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake," Jesus says, "shall find it." And then he asked the question, "What does it profit a man?" How much does it take? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses soul?
Amen.
Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And so this morning, just want to remind you and encourage you, stay focused in your Christian walk. Don't allow Satan to get us caught up in what's going on. I know election time is coming up.
Amen.
Don't get caught up in who's in the White House, but get caught up in who's in heaven.
Yes, right.
Amen. Because if you understand who's in heaven, you'll understand that man in the White House is there because of the power of God.
Amen.
That's right. There is no government unless God sets it in order.
Amen.
So therefore, what should we have? Some reverence,
yeah,
whether you like him,
yep,
or not. Some respect. Why? Because God is, you put him there under his authority. So once again, it is good to see you. John chapter 4 and round about verse number 24. The Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 8 verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If ever been a time that folks need some freedom, they need the word of God.
Amen.
Because it's in the word of God that when you and I surrender our will to what thus saith the Lord, God, I believe, hedges us about where Satan can't hinder us. And as long as he's got the hedge around us, as long as we walk in the light as he's in the light, you don't worry about Satan. How many of y'all worry about the devil? Even though you see him every day. How many of you worry about him? I don't worry about the devil. You know why? Because I'm a child of the Most High God. And as a result of being a child of the Most High God, I know Satan has no control over me unless I allow him.
Amen.
Through sin. And then when I sin, guess what God does? Turns his back on me until I repent and get back on the right track. So this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to draw your attention to Colossians chapter 3 and round about verse number 12 and following. Paul's letter to the church at Colossae to encourage them, to remind them that God is in control. And as a result of him being in control, guess what, church? We are never, ever out of control.
All right.
Now, if you're out of control, it's because you don't let the Spirit guide you. But when the Spirit of God guides and directs us in our everyday life, church, we're in control. Mm-hmm. Amen. I don't want anyone to tell me that I'm not in control. I am in control because you know why? Because the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in me, guess what? I'm in control.
Amen.
And the only time I'm out of control is because I choose to be.
See?
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason. When I choose not to do what God say, guess what? I'm out of control. Yeah, you know, and you know you are.
Amen.
That's right. But when you let go and let the Spirit of God dwell in us, church, there's nothing that can hinder us but ourselves. Colossians chapter 3 and round about verse number 5, Paul says, mortify. One translation says, put to death. Therefore, your members. I didn't miss anybody, did I? Your members, let me go on, which are upon the face of the earth. And then he names things that we ought to put off in our Christian walk. Verse number 6, he says, which things say, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometimes when you lived in them. But now ye have put off all of these deeds. See, the only way you're out of control is you haven't put something off. He says mortify, which is the word we get put to death, or mortify, mortification. And so Paul here says, when you put these things to death, what things? Envy. It says anger. Anybody in here get angry?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Huh? You get angry. But you what? Sin not. You got a right to get angry. But don't let the sun go down upon your anger. That's what Paul says. He says, put to death anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Filthy words out of your mouth. Church folk don't have filthy words. Huh? Let me tell you something. When you're angry and you say something contrary against your brother or sister, that's a filthy word. You know why? Because we're all made in the image of Christ. And if we're made in the image of Christ, when I talk about you, guess who I'm talking about? Christ himself. And so Paul says, put filthy words out of your mouth. Then he says, lie to one another. Oh, I missed the word not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He says, lie not to one another. Isn't it easy to lie to somebody? We live in a world that don't accept nothing but lies. Look at the religious world we live in. It's telling us that it's wrong for you to discriminate against somebody because of their sexual preference. That's what our society says, and we have fallen into that. It is wrong for me to do that. But what does the Bible say? Jesus, Paul here says, lie not to one another, since you have put off the old man, which his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed through the knowledge after the image of him that created him. You understand what Paul is saying here? Paul is saying that I put off some things. And as I put off these things, guess what? I picked up some new things. I stopped lying and I speak the truth. I stop hating and I start loving. I start being mad at you and I start being kind to you. Why? Because I put off this old man. And so therefore my speech should be seasoned with salt. Anybody in here got a bite on your speech? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? You say something and boy, it come out your mouth and it's all messed up. I love you. Do you really? And Paul says you got to put this stuff aside. And then you got to put on this new man. And he says this new man is renewed how? In the knowledge. That's right. I can't love you unless I look at how to love. I can't forgive you unless I look in the book and learn how to forgive. I can't do anything unless I look through this book and show me that I can. So therefore, there's no limitation on what we can do. Philippians chapter 4, y'all looking at me funny. Verse 13, I can do some things. If you can do all things through Christ, don't miss the rest of that, which strengthens me. How does Christ strengthen me so I can do all things? Through his word. That's right. And the more you study, the more you meditate, and the more you apply. I got to drop this in. I know folks that know the Bible from Genesis to Revelations.
Yeah.
But they don't know how to love. They don't know how to forgive. They don't know how to forget. And they don't know how to move forward. And the only way you learn that is you got to learn it through the word of God. Verse number 11, Paul says, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, barbarous or sensitive, bond nor free, but Christ is what? All and in you all. That's some powerful stuff. To know that God is in me, if, and I got to keep dropping this if in there, because you'll think he's in you and he won't be in you. Because if he's in you, don't have to beg you to do nothing for the Lord. Amen, Walls. If he's in you, I don't have to teach you how to speak. You know how to speak as the oracles of God. You know how to minister with the ability that God gives you. That's if he's in you. If he's in you, guess what you've done? You've mortified the deeds of the old man. You don't have to lie. That's why most folks don't ask me questions. I ain't gonna lie for you, and I sure ain't gonna lie to you. So if you ask me how I look, don't ask me. Because you might not like the outcome of the answer. But see, as children of God, we rise above all of this. Why? Because we've mortified, we've put to death the old man when we obey from the heart the gospel. And what's the gospel? When we've obeyed from the heart the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ and go into this watery grave, we have put to death this old man. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, Paul says, if any man beware in Christ, what is he? Brand spanking new. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of Christ, who has reconciled us. How? To his Father. And what did he give to us? The ministry of reconciliation. Church, we got something to talk about. And it ain't about one another. Nope. We got something to hoop and holler about. But it's not about how I feel. It's about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. How he died for mankind. Because there was not a man fit to die for him. Amen. When God made man, he made us perfect. In the image, he made us. Both male and female. But in our society, they're twisting this thing around. And you know what's so sad about it? Even in the church, we, Jim won't join. Amen. Well, you can't talk too loud about that, you know, because somebody might talk about you. Talk about me. Because I'm going to stick with what thus saith the Lord. Because before I can get to the rest of this passage, our lesson text, I got to bring you where you need to be. You got to put to death some things on this time side of life. Faithfulness doesn't drop out the sky. Amen. That's a practice. And see, the only way you become faithful is you got to really believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sin. Is there anything that you can do to repay him?
No.
Huh? But you ought to be trying, huh?
That's right.
So therefore, if you try, guess what happens? You become faithful. Faithful not in a few things, but faithful in everything in your Christian walk. Why? Because you surrendered your will. See, when he said, if any man desire to come after me, he's talking really about mortifying the old man and put on the new man. Because when you put on the new man, there's something about the new man. And I'm going to show you. There's something about the new man. I no longer think the way I used to think. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, Satan grabs me every now and then.
Right.
That's why I got to focus my eyes on the cross and not on 36, 24, 36.
Oh.
Y'all laughing. But how many of y'all women? Come on. Do you want a beer belly or do you want a six pack?
Same thing.
No, it ain't the same thing, brother. A beer belly and a six pack is totally different. See me later and I'll tell you. But as God's people, we got to move to a higher plateau. Verse number 12, for the next few minutes, Paul says, put on, therefore. Therefore is therefore something. Before you can put it on, you got to take something off.
Right now.
That's right. And the more you take off, guess what? The more you can put on. If you want to be faithful, put off unfaithfulness.
Okay.
If you want to be motivated and enthused, get away from negative things. Sometimes that might be in your own household. We don't want to talk about that, but that cost, that gets right down to the brass tacks. You either follow the Lord or you hit the dope. No, I'm sorry, I don't know how I got there. Let me go on. But church, either we do what thus saith the Lord or we're not his. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy. You think God needs some holy folk?
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean holy rollers. I mean holy folks. And what makes us holy is the word of God. Amen. Now what Peter says, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. How do I become holy? My life has to be in harmony with what the Bible says. He says, put on as the beloved, is the elect of God, holy and beloved. Put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long. How long? Long. How long is long?
Long.
Long suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you to do. Is there anybody you can't forgive? I don't care what they do to you. Lock you in a closet, give you a teaspoon of food every day. You forgive them. Why? Because it's not about what they've done to you. You forgive because he forgave you. The Bible said Jesus went to the cross who knew no sin. Neither was there guile found in his mouth. But as he hung between two twilights, as they pierced him in his side, before they pierced him in his side, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue to what they're doing. And sometimes I wonder in the church, do we have a clue? Huh? We come here, we look good, we smell good, we sound good. Do we really have a clue to what we're doing? Because it's all about the loss. And as we go out and seek and save the loss, there's a mindset, there's an attitude we got to have. The mindset is we got to show the world out here that Jesus is alive and well. You can see him right here. And he loves you. He cares for you. Why? Because that's what we do. And when we do that, church, you watch and see if the world around us won't change. Not everyone's going to accept us because they didn't even accept Jesus. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Verse number 14, Paul says, and above all these things. Above all of what things? Being kind, being merciful, being humble of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Paul says, and above all of this, this is what you got to do. You got to put, and above all these things, put on love.
Amen.
Which is the bond of perfectness or the bond of maturity. See, I'm learning that when you can love in spite of, and there ought not to be nothing in the body of Christ that causes us a fallout. I don't care how many times I step on your toe or slap you upside your head. You got to love me and I got to love you and we got to, huh? What you say? What you say? You ain't going to do too many of them, huh? But see, when you have the bond of perfectness, crucify me. Crucify me. Because I know that I'm doing what God said. Isn't that what they did to Jesus?
Amen.
They beat him half the night, all night long. Stripped him of his garment. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Marched him up Golgotha. He fell amongst the pressure of the cross. Got another man to carry his cross. Got him to the hill. Nailed spikes in his hand. Hung him on a cross. And you're going to tell me I can't suffer a little ridicule from you? You're telling me I can't suffer a little persecution from you? Slap me, step on me, because I'm going to remain faithful to him who's called me. He says, and above all, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule where? In your heart. You got to rule in your heart, because if he's not ruling in your heart, guess who's up there?
Satan.
That other fella. Let the peace of God rule in your heart to which you are called into one body and be ye thankful. Title of the lesson this morning, and I want to encourage us as children of God, is to really get out of the way and let God do his word. Title is, We Must Show the World That He's Alive Because You See Him in Us. Paul, in this lesson text, writes these words to the believer, reminding the believer, verse number 12, that we are God's elect. And if we can't get it right, who's going to get it right? And if we ain't going to do it, who's going to do it? You know, he didn't leave seeking and saving the lost to the world, did he? Who did he leave it to? Those that have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, you have a responsibility, and that's a difficult responsibility because that means I can't always be your friend. That means I can't always share in your sin. What it means, I must stay unspotted from the world, and I must live my life that draws folk to the Father. And I'm learning the only way you're going to draw somebody is they got to see Jesus in us. You know, point number one, in order to show the world who we really are, we got to show one another how much we love and care for one another. Therefore, my speech is going to be seasoned. Amen. Amen. I'm learning how to do this with my children. I ain't got there completely. I'm working on it. But I'm learning how to use soft words. That's what the wisest man on the face of the earth said. A kind word turns away wrath.
Amen.
But an angry word stirs up. Boy, and I know how to stir you up. All I had to do is step on your toe and tell you, I thought you didn't like that. You know how we are. Boy, all of a sudden, God is gone, and here come that other fella. And then we talk, stop and bless one another out, don't we? Maybe not here. We must show the world that he's alive and well. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus said, A new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you, that all men may know that you are my disciples by the love we have for one another. To show the world that we love one another, we must act like the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and round about verse number 25. But before you get to verse 25 and you go back up, Paul talks about the purpose of the body, that every member in the body is important. The hand can't say, because I'm not the feet, we're not important. No, we're all important. Amen. And in verse number 25, Paul says, there should be no what? Schisms, no problem in the body. Well, why is there so many schisms in the body? Because we have not surrendered to what thus saith the Lord. He says that there should be no schism in the body. Verse 26 says, and where the one member suffer, all members suffer.
Amen.
And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it.
Amen.
Verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ, members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after the ministering, then gifts of healing, help, government, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I want you to get what Paul is saying here, because in the next verse, he tells us something. He says, but covers the earnest gift, the best gift, and I will show you a more excellent way. What's that excellent way? Love lifted me. And church, and I'm learning that when we let love lift us, you don't need me. I'll say that again. When love lifts you out of the cesspools of immorality,
right,
when love lifts you from the cares of this world, you don't need me, because you got the true love, and that is Jesus Christ. Point number two, we must show the world by our lifestyle. That's right. You think people would come to church if you were more faithful? Take an inventory of your neighbors. Do your neighbor know where you at this morning?
Yes.
Or did you sleep in? Y'all quiet? That's right. The world gonna know who we are by the example we show.
Right.
So when the first day of the week roll around, they already know you want to rob that house. Just hold on.
Right now.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, hold on. Wait a minute.
E-U-T.
He had to take some 30 minutes to get to the church. Okay, you good. Or do they break in and you in? Uh-oh. See, the world is looking for examples.
And the examples we must show, church, is the examples that we are worthy of what we have obeyed. Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all loneliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. How? In the bond of peace. There's some unity, the church, that we have. And so when you're missing in action, guess what? Unity is lacking. So when it's time to assemble ourselves, when it's time to do the will of the Father, everybody must understand that you have a part in this. That's right. And when we operate as one, have the same mind, the same care for one another, look out, world. Okay. Because the world will change, because they'll see the change inside of each and every one of us. See, the world must see our lifestyle. And that lifestyle is indicative to the race in which we run. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 24. Look, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24. Look at what Paul says. Paul says, know you not that those who run in a race run, but one received the prize? So run that you may obtain it. And every man that strive for mastery is tempered in all things. See, the world is looking for that. The world is looking for some Christian folk that know how to raise their kids, that know how to be obedient. The world is looking for older folk that are humble and submissive, that understand what God requires of them, that they need to be the example. Remember what Paul told them that the old man should be? The old man should be sober-minded. You know what sobers us up? It ought to be the word of God. That he be an example to the young. And then he reminds the women that the older women should teach the younger women. What are you teaching them? I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going on. Verse number 25. And every man that strive for mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do this to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. And if there's nothing else you can learn about me, when my time comes, I want you to say that preacher ran with certainty. Amen. That's right. I know where I'm headed. Amen. I know where I'm going. And guess what? I ain't gonna let nobody hinder me. I love Sister Harmon dearly. Amen. We'll lay down my life for her, and we'll take your life if you mess with her. Right. Come on now. But when it comes my time, I want you to say that he ran the race. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which a righteous judge shall give me. And not only me, but all them that love his appearance. And so Paul says, I run, not with uncertainty. I fight, not with my brothers anymore. Not as one that beateth the air. Paul says in verse number 27, I keep under my body and bring it all into subjection. And you know what makes us subjective? It's the word of God. And you know, sometimes we don't want to hear it. I'll say amen to that. My wife told me something the other day, and yeah, I tried to get it in this ear and let it go out this ear. But it was the truth. and it just stayed right there. And every time I wanted to just throw it out, all I could hear was right here in his ear. Okay. And you know what? It's the truth. Yep. But sometimes as men, we're so pig-headed, not y'all. We're so stubborn that we don't want to hear what the ladies got to say. But I'm reminded that there was a whole lot of ladies when Jesus needed them. Where was the brothers? They were hiding. Why were they hiding? They were scared. Brothers, we ain't scared, are we? Well, let me go on. He said, I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, least by any means, when I have preached to others, and that's what scares me, I myself might be a castaway. See, that's one of the dangers of being a teacher or a preacher. You know, you teach so much and you preach so much, and then you look out and folks are doing everything but focus on the Lord. Not y'all. No. Amen, Wallace. Final point. Let's show the world through the demonstration of the scripture. Luke 19 and verse number 10. The Bible says, for Jesus came to what? Seek and to save the lost. He left us with what? The gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, say it with me. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach to you, which you have received, wherein you stand, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I have received. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. Church, we got a mission. We got a responsibility. And if we've been shucking and jiving for the past few years, let's get on track.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't saying you shucking and jiving, but I've had a few weeks to think about what I've been doing. And you know, and I'm so thankful that he put me back on my feet, because he could have just took me on out of here. Church, let's show the world, first and foremost, the example of Christ by keeping his commandments. His commandments is that all men be saved and be in the body. That's our responsibility. Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart, church. Paul said in our lesson text, put on therefore as God's elect. Boy, turn and tell somebody, I'm God's elect.
I'm God's.
Come on, y'all. Boy, do you know what that means? He's chosen you out of the world to show the world that I still got some disciples. And remember, Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people.
Amen.
That you should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. Who were not at first a people, but now we are the people of God. Church, I want to encourage you as we continue to strive to do the will of the Father here. Don't get sidetracked. Don't let Satan hook you up in his devices. Stop looking at the news so much and look at the news. Amen. Because I'm learning that he gives us everything we need through the knowledge of him. And the more we study and get the knowledge, church, the better the world will see that there's a better way.
Amen.
And that's in Christ Jesus. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.
Amen.